All right, everybody. So, let's start.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Buenos dias.
Buenos noches.
For me, still.
Yeah. I like nachos.
Good cheese. All right, we will continue speaking about this kingdom of God. And last time when we left off, we were discussing how the kingdom is not an external kingdom, and we gave some examples as to how the Jews were looking for a kingdom when Messiah would come, was looking for an external kingdom that to be built here on earth. And that wasn't what was in God's interest. That wasn't His interest. Obviously, it's like us. You know, I see it this way. As God's building His kingdom, you know, He's building a kingdom within us, right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
Yes. Right? We'll get to that later. But character... What is that
power quote, without
power
character,
without character is satanic.
Right.
Therefore, Christ is going to have a physical kingdom.
Amen. That's right.
Later.
Yeah, sure.
But it's got to be built spiritually first.
Right.
The character has to be there first.
Right.
Because it's going to be built by His people, by His children, right?
Right.
It's going to be His children that are going to possess it, right?
Right.
But you have to have that character, that kingdom already completely built in you before you can possess the physical kingdom. You see what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I want to go with it. But let's just look at this. Let's look at this here interesting scripture in John chapter 18. This is when Pilate was talking to Jesus. And let's just read. Verse 33 says, Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? So he wanted to know if he was the king of the Jews, or maybe he wanted to see what he would say. Jesus said, answered to him, Sayest thou? Because whenever you ask Jesus a question, He's going to answer your question.
Right.
He'll give you the answer. You just ask. That's the reason why He said, ask and you shall receive.
Right.
Seek and you shall find.
Amen.
And He even gave an answer to Pilate, right? Jesus
right.
answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? In other words, are you saying this because it's revealed to you that I'm...
Mm-hmm.
Or are you saying it because somebody else has said it to you,
right.
has told you that I'm the king of the Jews?
Right?
So Pilate answered and said, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?
Mm-hmm.
So your own nation, am I a Jew? To answer that question, I'm not concerned about these
right.
things. Your own nation, your own people have delivered me, you to me. Jesus, verse 36, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world.
That's right.
So He plainly says it right there. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews?
Yep.
That's right.
If His kingdom was when He would come, when He was here on earth, if He'd come to establish a physical kingdom, obviously He'd have servants, He'd have people, just like a nation has an army, has sergeants, has commanders, has, you know, people support, right? But He didn't have that. Now, we know that there was support there. Because, I mean, that He could call a legion of angels to stop the whole thing, and they would have
That's
just
right.
stopped,
yeah.
you know?
Right. That's right.
But then where would we have been, you
right.
see?
Right.
The plan of redemption wouldn't have continued, right? And Scripture would not have been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And to Jesus, in the physical, right? Because we know He was just as much human as He was God when He was here on earth.
Right.
His whole... main point was to fulfill that scripture.
Yes, that's right.
The scripture had already spoken about Him to do certain things, and because He was the Word, He had to fulfill the Word.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Amen. Yes. So, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. My kingdom is not from this world. Amen. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? In other words, are you a king? So he's asking them pretty much kind of the same question that he's asking them at the verse 33. Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born." Mm-hmm. So he's saying, yeah, I am a king.
That's right.
"And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Yes. "Everyone that is of the truth," or this kingdom, "heareth my voice." Yes. Amen. So Jesus here is speaking. He's turning it back to a spiritual kingdom, right? Yes. He's turning it back to a kingdom, the real reason why he came here to earth, right? Yes. To bear witness of the truth. And we know that he is the truth, and we know that because he there's different scriptures. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," right? "Thy word is truth," and another scripture says, you know, and so we know that he is the truth. "But everyone that heareth my voice," Jesus said, "is of that truth." In other words, it's of that kingdom. That's the kingdom that he's come here to establish.
Right.
"Pilate saith unto him, What is truth?" And then look like what happened. "And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews." Now, when we continue reading, we don't see that Jesus answered his question there.
Right.
Because why? Pilate immediately just kind of walks out. He asks him, "Well, what is truth?" Right? Him being the philosopher that he is or whatever, like, what is truth? Right. There is no, you know, kind of nonchalant, "What is truth?" And he walks out. Mm-hmm. And Jesus didn't get the otherwise. Jesus would have told him.
Right.
Right? Would have answered his question. But he had already told him who he was at the in the first few verses. So this is the kingdom that that Jesus come to establish. All right. And Romans, let's read Romans chapter 14. You have your scriptures. I don't have it up here. Now, you know, as when we first come into the message, I told you guys that I was going to get a little carnal with this, if you could say it that way. But you know, saints, to a lot of people, the kingdom of God is hair, dress, and doing external things.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm going to read you a quote. I'll read you several quotes, but I'll read you here what Paul says. Because a lot of people are fixated. You know, a sister comes into the message, and they let their hair grow out, and they think, some of them get to, you know, might get to the point that, "Well, my hair is longer than yours, so I must be holier than you."
Yeah.
And that's not the case. Yes, because I'm sure there's cases where a sister will look down on another sister because their hair is not all the way down to the floor.
Right.
Now, sister can't help that.
Right.
That's right. Sister can't help that, and you having extremely long hair doesn't make you holier than somebody else.
That's right.
You know, because I heard you've always heard the phrase, you know, you can have long hair but have long tongue.
Yeah, right.
You talk about everybody at church, but your hair is long and you dress right.
Yeah. Right.
And you're hurting the body of Christ with your tongue.
Amen.
Right. So, you know, some people would think, well, you know, that's the kingdom of God. It's all these external things, but we'll read Romans. Let's just read Romans 14:17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." In other words, physical things, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, when you have the Holy Spirit, that's what's going to produce this peace, this righteousness, this peace and joy. It's not your own righteousness.
That's right.
It's His righteousness.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. And it's so easy for us to, when we come, become Christians, or we come into the message, for us to be so legalistic, right?
Right.
I can't do this. I can't wear, some man, they think they can't wear long sleeve shirts, you know? But that's up to you if you don't want to wear, if you don't want to wear short sleeve shirts, right? That's up to you, you know?
Right.
We're not condemning you. You're not going to be condemned. But I want to see what, let's see what Paul says. Let me just get off that and let's just see what Paul says. Because, I mean, I saw it when I first come into the message. I saw a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
And then you kind, you're that way as well. But as you start growing in the Lord, you start balancing things in your life.
That's right.
And you start seeing that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink.
Right.
Amen. So let's read this chapter, Romans chapter 14. It says, I'm in Jeremiah. And, you know, we just want to take our time, saints, because we still have two more Sundays.
Right.
Obviously, you know, Paul's speaking here about this kingdom of what is not. All right. Verse 1, it says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." In other words, there's going to be people, Christians, that are going to first come and get saved, or people that come to the church and start getting saved. They're not going to know everything, you know. They're not going to know, you know. That's the reason why we have to be patient.
Right.
Receive ye in the faith.
Right?
Receive them in the faith. Verse 2, "For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs." In other words, one of them believes, there's a Christian that believes, I can eat everything, including pork, including all these things. Brother Wade obviously believes it, right? But then there's another one that says, "Well, I'll just eat vegetables."
Well,
right?
Says they're weak, though. The Bible says they're weak. Another who is weak, comma. Well, just eat herbs. So vegetarians, sorry.
Weak. Spiritually weak.
Right.
What the Bible says.
So, there's another one that thinks, well, I should. Now, this is speaking about the Romans, because there was a lot of issues about Christians eating meat and sacrifice to idols during that time. Should we or should we not? How should we? There was questions in people's minds that Paul had to deal with. But now, if you take those things and bring them to our day, we don't have to worry about, you know, meat being sacrificed to idols. It could be. I don't know what they do at Publix. I don't know what they do at Eagles. But I just take it in prayer and continue on. You see?
Amen.
Because sometimes we can get so caught up with these little things.
Right.
You know, these little external things, and you forget the big picture of the kingdom of God. You see? So verse 3, "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not."
Right.
In other words, don't look down on the one that puts up the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And you don't put the Christmas tree up. Or vice versa. Right?
Right.
I'm just going to use the Christmas tree because that's a big thing.
Yeah.
There's people that don't want to put Christmas trees. They don't have the faith to put a Christmas tree. But don't look down on them.
Right.
And you shouldn't look at one that does put down on the one that does put the Christmas tree up. Because they're doing, that's they have full faith to do it, right?
Yeah.
So let's.
Mine's still up. It really is.
Might as well just leave it up for the rest of the year.
I'm wheeling up the whole year. It's up high.
Get to about June, you just add some different ornaments and leave it right on through.
Well, it'd have a little bit, you know, sort of a little bit type of snow.
Yeah.
It's a little, not as white, but it, you know, the dust, you know.
Verse 3.
Verse 3, all right. "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." Right?
Right.
"Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, ye shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another." Watch. Let's just look at Christmas, for example. "One man," in other words, looks at Christmas, "Oh, I love Christmas," right? "Another esteemeth every day alike." Another one says, "Oh, every day to me is alike."
Yeah.
You know? I don't look at Christmas better than another day, right? "Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Right? In his own mind. "He that regardeth the day," in other words, looks at the day and keeps it, "regardeth it unto the Lord."
Right?
Right? you do it for the Lord's sake, right? You don't celebrate Christmas or you don't do things around Christmas because you're doing it for the world. Mm-hmm. Pull out your bottles of champagne and dress up as Santa Claus and, you know, and all that stuff, you know? You do it unto the Lord. For the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not. So to the one that does it and the one that doesn't do it, they're both doing it for the Lord, right?
Yes.
And giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself.
Amen.
For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's.
That's right.
Either way, we are the Lord's.
Right.
Because, you know, see, God knows the reason and knows your heart, the reason why you do things. Or why you don't do things. And if you don't have the faith enough to not do certain things, then don't do it because another brother or sister does it.
Right?
You know, and then we have to be careful as Christians to not boast because we have the faith enough to do it and another Christian doesn't want to do it. A lot of people, you know, when I came into the message and that's how, you know, I got around people that, you know, I didn't want to do certain things or that they would do, which weren't necessarily bad, but I just didn't feel comfortable. But they would just kind of do it in front of me, you know. And then it we're like, well, okay. And this person was an older person than me. Well, that kind of, you know, that just kind of, you know, put me down. You see, so you have to walk careful around people. Because, am I going to do something around my brother that I have full faith in doing, but I know that it's going to offend my brother? Would I put a stumbling block in my brother's walk with Christ,
right,
just
right,
so that I can get the pleasure that I have full faith in doing whatever I'm doing around them? You see?
Right.
You all see what I'm trying to say? This is what Paul is talking about. Verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, for that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That's pretty clear, huh?
Yes.
I know. And listen to what Paul says here. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. So there's nothing unclean, there's nothing bad of itself. Let's take the TV for example. It's not bad within itself. I can have it in my home. But it's how I use it that makes it bad. Well, we all have internet on our cell phones. That's just as bad as the TV. It's worse than the TV. You know, we row about the TV and shooting the TV out of the house. We should be shooting our phones and our computers out of the house. That's worse.
Yeah, that's right.
You can take that with you.
Yeah. That's worse. There's been more damage through internet than there is on TV.
That's right.
But it's the way you use it.
That's right.
It's the way I use the internet that's gonna bring glory to God or not. Right?
Right.
So it's nothing. It's not bad within itself. Brother Ram said TV could been used for a good purpose, and it has been used for good. You know, preaching the gospel and things like that. But we know that these things have also. It comes from the knowledge of tree and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let us not, therefore, verse 14, know and persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So if you think celebrating Christmas is bad, then it, to you it's bad. Right?
Yeah.
I'm just giving Christmas as an example. But you don't have to proclaim it to everybody else and convert everybody else to go your way.
That's right.
And vice versa. You that celebrate Christmas, you don't make converting everybody else. You need to put up the Christmas tree, you know, and all this stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, or in other words, if thy brother be grieved with you celebrating Christmas, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. In other words, don't destroy him with your with your doctrine. With your own thing, your own idea about things, you see? Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of man. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Right? For meat destroy not the work of God. So in other words, because of, you know, let's not destroy what God is doing, and let's not get sidetracked by all these things just because you want to be heady about, that you celebrate Christmas. Right? All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. So that person that eats and doesn't have full faith, to him it's evil. Right? It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. If you have faith for these things, you know, then you have it to yourself, right? We're all growing in different levels. Alright, and we just be patient with one another. And if you feel like a sister or a brother, well, they're not up to par or to where I am, let the Lord do the work.
Right.
You don't be their Holy Ghost.
Right.
You can't be their Holy Ghost.
Right.
You know, because it's the Lord that does the work. Because when He, I always say, if the Lord does the work, if we let the Lord do the work, it's going to be done right.
That's right.
But when we convince somebody else, that's the reason why arguing doesn't bring you to anything.
Right. Exactly.
Foolish disputations and stuff like that, you're not going to convince somebody with arguing or fussing.
Right.
Never. It's better, you know, when you're when you see the fuss about to start, you just stay quiet. Let things simmer down. Let things calm down. 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3. What the heck is bothering me? You say that? She hasn't heard me say that. I say it in my mind. Or what in the world
is bothering me?
What on earth is bothering me? There you go. That sounds much better. It is good neither to, verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended who is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Right.
For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Right.
You know, if to me now, this is me. If I was in a third world country and I was sitting down to eat food, and I knew that food was sacrificed unto idols, I'd still eat it. Because I have faith. I know where I'm standing.
Right.
That it was, and plus, the thing is that I want to be able to come, you know, because sometimes if you don't partake in what in. It's something that now, if it's something, you know, taking off your clothes and stuff like that, you know, that's a different thing. But this is me now. I would eat for the sake of trying to convert these people.
Right.
Right? That's just me. But now, you may not do it because your conscience may not allow it. You don't have the faith enough to do it. Now, I'm not saying that boastfully, but that's just me.
Sure.
That's just what I would, because nothing within itself is bad, as Paul said.
That's right.
It's what Paul said, and he said, I'm convinced. So you see? So, and he that doubteth is damned if he, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And verse 15, last verse, chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Amen. So, does anybody have any questions or any comments about that? Brother Joe, go ahead.
How about as far as blood?
Well, blood, I mean, to me, at one point I thought it was bad eating blood. Now, live drinking, live fresh warm blood, you know, I just wouldn't do it because I don't want that iron taste in my mouth. And that's not what I would eat. But I mean, I'm eating chicken, and all the time we go into the,
right.
And you eat blood. It's, there's blood in there.
Ground beef's got a lot.
Ground beef's got blood. And I mean, so I guess we're all condemned because we drink and we eat blood. You know? Really, within its, if you give, Paul said in another place, you know, where is it Paul or Peter? He said, everything is good that God created. If you give thanks, you know, when you give thanks. But if you don't have the faith to do it, then you don't do it. That doesn't make you better in the kingdom of God than me. You see?
A lot of that old ritual they were talking about in the Testament, I kind of researched that a little bit, but back, especially during this time, they would take an animal and bleed it out while it was alive. Mm-hmm. And take the blood and actually come right out of the vein of the neck,
yes.
and just get gallons of it, and then they would take and drink it. But that was a ritual, not unto God, right. But unto their God.
That's unto right. Their God, yes.
It was right. It was a ritual to their God, and Paul probably saw this, right. And he says, okay, you know, don't drink blood of a live, because that animal was live.
Yeah,
he was standing and living, and they. Punched his neck and the blood come out like water, you know, and they were just sitting there drinking it. Well, that animal was still alive. But they were going to sacrifice that animal to whatever god they had.
Right.
That would be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But,
no
good?
Now, there's, I know other tribes in Africa out in the desert where they don't have water. They don't have a source of water. And so their liquid would be the blood of the animal that they would catch, if they happen to catch it. And so to stay hydrated, that's what they would do. And they would get a lot of the nutrients from the blood as well. And that's to survive, and that's to live.
Hmm. If I was a Christian, I'd move.
They can't afford to.
Yeah. So I mean, what are you?
But being a Christian, it really changes your mindset. Yeah. And I would have faith that God would do something to help me. To bring me water or bring something besides. Mm-hmm. You know, I drink wine. I drink.
You'd speak the water into existence. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Wine, brother?
Go ahead, brother.
What? What is wine cooler? How do you know? What do you know about that?
He didn't say wine. He said wine. A cooler
wine.
Oh, it's brother.
Mexican people kill toads and pigs and all that, and they stick a knife in the side and they get the blood, but they cook it.
Yeah,
so,
they
cook it. Like he was saying, is to drink it and try it out.
Yeah, I mean, we have a dish, and I think Sister Trudy, she knows what I'm talking about. It's called blood sausage.
Yeah.
And what it is, it's they take, it's, well, to us, it's like a gut. It's like chitlins. They take the gut, you know, and clean it out. They stuff that gut with, it's usually pig, with rice, some meat, or something like that. And then it's sort of, it's cooked in blood. As well, it's cooked in blood. It's really good. Now, there's a lot of Christians, they don't eat that. When they come to Christ, they said, no, that's blood, and I don't want to eat it. For me, I have no problem with it. It's good. It's good, but I mean, but again, listen, if I'm around Christians that don't want to eat that because of their faith, I won't eat it. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block
right,
to them.
Right.
I'm trying to help these people out spiritually. I won't eat it. I'll sacrifice my pleasure of enjoying that for their sake. And that's what Paul was discussing here.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. So, does anybody have any other comments or anything? We have 10 more minutes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, see, we don't have to, like you said, if you go out and witness to people, you know, first thing you don't want to go is, you know, well, if you come to our church, you need to wear, we've had people come in and wear pants, sisters that do.
Mm-hmm.
And people condemned it. Now, we don't let it go long.
Right.
She's not going to be here 6 months if they'll wear her.
No, absolutely.
But one or two or three times, they'll either get the revelation or they'll leave. And most of them leave, and the ones that stay become, you know, they become good Christians because they see the
testimony
of the sisters, you know. So,
that's
and I say, I'm like you. I sat in a lot more than you did because back when I was 12, 13, and 14, I mean, you heard sermons for hours of dress and hair and clothes.
Yeah.
And no jewelry and jewelry and long sleeve and short sleeve and women not to wear this and not to wear, and that's all you heard.
Yeah.
And it really didn't edify nobody.
Mm-mm. No.
So.
Absolutely. It's that's not what it's all about. You do these things because you want to please the Lord.
Right.
And it's born in you to want to do it. Right?
Right.
I used to do it when I was a Christian in the denomination, but I would wear shorts, you know. When I came into the message, you know, I heard your brother Brown talking about these men wearing shorts and how sissified they look and all that stuff. And then just one day, I was riding in the car with my dad to the bank, and all of a sudden, I was like, I don't want to wear these things anymore, you know.
Right.
Not, you know, to go out, you know. I don't want to wear these things anymore. And, my dad, my mom never told me to stop wearing them. I just didn't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a different thing when you don't want to do something within yourself than somebody else telling you not to. And that's
why
the reason
to be
why.
They did.
It's to be a relationship.
They had spent all them years teaching what Brother Dale's teaching upstairs now about salvation and justification and sanctification and getting the Holy Ghost.
That's
if they
key.
Would have preached that 40 years ago.
Correct.
The church would be in a lot better shape.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because you can't get a Holy Ghost-filled woman to wear a pair of pants. I mean, Brother Brown said that. So if you wear pants, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. I mean, to me, that's just black and white.
Right.
If you cut your hair, Brother Brown said it's an abomination. Well, Brother Brown doesn't say it. The Bible says it. I keep saying it. But the Bible says these things.
Right, absolutely.
And so if you still do, then you're not born again. That's just that's pretty cut and dry.
Right.
And men the same way. Stuff that we do now, you know, shorts and stuff, that has to be a revelation to you. To not do that.
Right.
And like you said, if mom and dad was to lean back and go, hey, you don't need to wear them.
Yeah.
If you're not a born-again Christian, you're going to wear them just out of spite, I promise you.
Yeah.
Just out of spite.
But that's the reason why you look at the youth. Well, they won't do it around you when they're still living with you.
Sure.
At some point in time, that desire hasn't changed in them. They're going to do it.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Because they were just suppressed for a while, but if the new birth doesn't come in to change that,
that's right.
They're going to go out and do it anyways.
That's right.
So,
is there a doctrine that determines a man's shirt sleeve length?
Oh, there's churches in Latin America that do that.
There used to be a lot in America because
some.
I remember Brother
pink shirt. Oh,
yeah, I'm sure there is.
Wear a pink shirt.
Brother,
what is his name?
Harold Hildebrandt was preaching one time over in Alabama, Brother. Somebody's in Alabama, I'm not going to call him. He took his shirt off. He took his coat off. And it was short sleeve. And I mean, it was, you know.
Yeah.
And he stopped in the middle of the service. He said, folks, if this offends you, I'll put my shirt back on. He said, but they ain't nowhere in the Bible that tells me I got to wear a long sleeve shirt.
Right.
So he said, I'll put my coat back on. Mm-hmm. Which would be fine. But he just kept on preaching and done a real good job. I remember that sermon probably better than any of them because he stopped and said, and he had short sleeves, you know. That come from Pentecost.
Yeah, they come from Pentecost. Brother from South Carolina, he would tell me, because he came out of what's called progressive Pentecost, and the man couldn't wear, they had to wear like their suits. They always had to wear white long sleeve shirts.
Yeah.
They could never wear colored shirts like this. They could never, but that was Pentecost.
Right.
But then when he came into the message, that idea was still in there, but it just took a little while, you know, to kind of wait a second, this is just external stuff, you know, right?
Right.
I've been to churches where the women can't wear flip-flops or sandals.
Yeah, yeah, no showing of the toes.
No showing of the toes. None
that
of
that. Still happens.
Yes.
That's yeah. still going on.
And, you know.
Sisters can't cross
the you know, it's just all kinds of stuff. But you know what?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, then there are one church that the pastor wants all of his ladies to wear their hair down. Yeah. Never in a bun. Yeah. Right. Always down. So you see the whole church and all they do is wear. Well, that ain't got nothing to do with nothing.
No.
I'm
glad
I'm here.
But it's just what the pastor wants.
It's what the pastor
and, you know, if you put that, if you bear that on the people, to me, that's a waste of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
A waste of time to do that because you're sitting up there beating the women about their not
wearing
them.
They don't have anything else for it.
Well, that's the problem. Well, why did you say that on the
internet?
Shh. I'm trying to be like the Bible says. Trying to be nice. But yes, they have these doctrines that fill up a lot of their time. That
yeah.
Paul should go on to perfection.
Go on to perfection.
Not putting away of all that, but if we got it right in the clothes and the dress and the hair, I mean, let's move on to it, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, because that's the kingdom of God.
Right. And look at what Brother Brown said. Thank God for the prophet that told us, you know, if we were to go to a church, say we went to Brother Gene Williams' church, and we're sitting there, and this lady walks in with hair short as mine and sits down, and she's worshiping God and everything. You don't know if that girl, Brother Brown said, if that woman gets born again, her hair is just as long as that woman sitting up beside of her that's never cut out. Now, we got, externally, we condemn her. And I've seen many churches. We were in a fellowship meeting one time. Lady walks in. She sits in front of us. Her hair was cut like this. And all that preacher done was preach to that woman.
No. Mm-hmm.
The whole church. Just on that poor woman. And, you know, what if she was a born-again woman in our church, come to our church and got born again, really repented of God? Well, God can't. She's got to let her hair grow.
Sure.
That's right.
So, you know, but like you said, though, we got to watch the whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But watch the whole thing. Consider the end of the conversation, Jesus Christ is saying. Consider the end of that woman. Her, she can't help she cut her hair but got born again 3 months ago.
Right.
And her hair still looks
right.
short.
Yeah.
But she's just as born again as you are and might be more born again than some of them sitting there with their hair
absolutely.
Dragging the ground.
Well,
so
I mean, the hair is just a symbol. It's
right.
a representation.
Exactly.
It doesn't save you.
Right. No.
It doesn't physically
right.
save
right.
you.
Right.
It's just a symbol. Right?
Right.
You don't get saved by the symbol.
No.
We went to this church and the message it was years ago, and all the women, you know, had their hair down, but they had it down. I'm talking about down.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not enjoy the message because these women sitting in front of me, and I guess they didn't believe in birth control, because every one of them had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, 5 or 6 kids. And those women was trying to, you know, take care of their babies, and all this hair was in the baby,
right.
And she was doing this number all the time. Never heard, I'm sure, what was going on in the pulpit, because, I mean, it was just a distraction.
Sure.
It was a distraction to her and me.
Right.
She couldn't get that baby settled down on her shoulder because the hair was all in its face.
Right.
She was doing this number all the time. I thought, Lord, thank you that Brother Brown did not say.
Yeah, Brother Brown
we had to wear our hair long.
We're all supposed to be logical about things too,
right?
All right, let's go ahead and go. God bless y'all.